I arrive in Tarnov to meet the museum director. I am very close now, but I do not know it. He draws maps on post-it notes and scraps of paper, showing the locations of mass graves. Zhabno, Wozhenshin, Shrova, and Bielcha, and tells me I will never find the one in Bielcha. He says it's between the houses and the bushes. You will see an indentation in the earth. He writes in Polish in my notebook, I am looking for the gypsy grave. I don't know it at the time, but he has marked the wrong place on the map. It's a long day. I drive to each of the other graves first, lingering at each one, filming, looking for traces. In Bozhenshin, a forest that is eerily absent of life, not a bird in sight. But when I look closely and look down, I see ants busily navigating pathways across the sandy soil, the same sand that later Josef will tell me he had trouble digging through because of the tangled tree roots underneath, one Saturday, 70 years ago, when they made him dig the mass grave. In Shrova, an austere memorial stone at the back of the cemetery with cobwebs stretched between faded plastic flowers, a dried leaf caught in the web dances, animated in the breeze. I film it for a long time. In Zhabno, another unkempt memorial on the edge of another cemetery. Through the fence, I can see a scrubby patch of wheat across the road, swaying in the wind. The wheat that later Janina will tell me grows over the bodies that she saw murdered and buried there when she was 12 years old, but has never told anyone before. Graves that I find, yet don't find. It won't be until I go back 9 months later and meet the people who will tell me their stories that I will understand the importance of these places, their unfinished stories, and the imprint they have made on people's lives. When I finally arrive in Bielcha, it is already getting late. I am confounded by his map and knock on doors in the village, showing my piece of paper and asking where the grave is. I circle the village, frustrated, looking in the wrong place. It begins to get dark, and I give up, turning the car to drive back through the forest to the town. On and on along a single track, until deep in the forest, in the dusk, my way is barred by a green and white barrier across the road. I turn the car around again and drive back to the village. There are four routes leading out of the village. I take one, heading south, blocked again, this time by roadworks. Each time I come back to the crossroads where Bielcha becomes Biedzec. Later, I find out this place is just meters from her grave. It's dark now, and I am beginning to feel that someone or something is trying to keep me in this village, telling me that I should not leave. I do not yet know about the Roma woman buried here and the impact she will have on my life. On the fourth attempt, I take a track southeast through another part of the forest and eventually find my way to the main road. That night, back in Tarnov, a thick fog falls. I catch some in a glass jar and think I cannot leave now. Early the next morning, he calls to find out how I got on, and I tell him I need to return to the village. As I stand with him in his office, he makes a series of phone calls to people in Bielcha and tells me that Zofia will be waiting for me. By the time I get there, I only have an hour before I have to leave for the airport. Zofia takes me by the hand and leads me to a clearing in the forest next to her house. She is agitated. I have no interpreter with me and cannot understand what she is saying, but it is clear she is distressed. She is gesturing to an indentation in the ground and seems in parts afraid, angry, and upset. She pushes a blue post-it note into my hand. She has written a message on it which I cannot understand. As she talks, I look down at my feet and see the skeleton of a small bird nestled in the grass. This is the moment when I know I will be returning to hear her story. My entanglement with Roma history had started months before in the dusty archives of the British Library. But then, that moment, standing in the forest with Sophia, was the beginning of a different sort of entanglement, one where I started to pay attention to things that happen, small things, such as the feeling that I needed to return to the village, and larger but equally intangible things, such as Sophia's agitation, emotions and sensations that are easy to brush aside. I had been looking for evidence, playing the historian, and up until this point, my search had focused on very literal traces, such as testimony uncovered in a dusty archive, or the exact location of a grave, whether it was a tombstone at the back of a cemetery, a man-made lake, or an indentation in the forest floor. But I had neglected to consider the importance and relevance of those other traces, the marks imperceptible to the senses, which some phenomenon, in itself inaccessible, has left behind. The existence of this gravesite was agitating Sophia. I did not know why, and as I stood in the forest clearing taking photographs after she had left, the sun came out briefly and illuminated the indentation in the ground. In many ways this was an ordinary day in an ordinary village, but my senses told me to pay attention to this place and to Sophia's relationship to it. As it turned out, this place and the story I was going to learn about it provided the key to connecting all the other places I had been visiting, and later, the places I hoped to visit, to connecting the past and the present, history and memory, and of course connecting myself to all of it, and understanding how I was going to tell these stories. The 36 hours that I was in this area of Poland were full of ordinary affects, sensations and feelings caused by the misdrawn map, the blocked-off roads, the fog that prevented me from leaving, the meeting with Sophia and her post-it note, and the dead bird in the grass at my feet. My first encounter with this place was charged with these small events that could be considered ordinary, human error, roadworks, weather patterns, yet did not feel ordinary. And paying attention to them led me to return 9 months later to uncover the story of the family buried in that forest clearing, the story of the deathless woman.